Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From the field to the court to the rink, get your sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, where we only speak to the best and brightest minds in the industry, the guys that have their ears to the ground, that can report the facts to you and make you smarter just for listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Mike Rodak is a great golfer. Mike, I've got one of these situations where I've got to go golfing this week, and I'm in the situation, Mike, where if you were in town, anywhere you would go, I'd say, I'll pay, teach me what you want, whatever it is, but you're in Buffalo, but the offer is always open to you, Mike, if you ever want to go golfing here in Rochester. It's a nice day today. You couldn't go golfing. You had to be at One Bills Drive.
Yeah, I mean, unless they define great golfers as guys who can't break 100, have yet to break 100, then not quite sure I fit into that category.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Gene. You don't have anything. Gene's nervous because he's got to go golfing with Wild Hack. He's going golfing with with a big, he's going to have his pinky in the air, and he's nervous that you know,
I'm not going to have my pinky in the
air.
Your
golf game is not what his is, and you don't want to look like an ass on the golf course.
I don't want him driving the ball, and I don't want little dribblers off the off the tee and things going into the woods, Mike. So I'm pretty petrified.
Rodak, can you reassure Gene all of that is going to happen, and it's fine?
Well, yeah, if you want lessons on how to be an ass on the golf course, I can give you those. Pretty good at that. So,
Mike, how did Sammy Watkins look to you today?
He looked fine. I mean, it wasn't, extensive stuff. It was just the individual drills and him just, running routes. And it was pretty much full speed. So he was cutting and planting, but he wasn't against defenders and wasn't a whole lot to it. But he looked, he looked fine. I mean, I feel like I always say that, though. Whenever he comes back from an injury, and it's always the first practice back, and how does he look? And I think every single time I say, he looks fine, but you never really know how he's going to feel, a week from now, or, you get into training camp and you're doing this every single day. How does that foot feel? Because as we know from last year, it can act up on him. And it was a situation where he was fine in week one against the Ravens, and then week two comes out against the Jets, and it was pretty sore. So who knows, where things will be in September with him. I don't think anything's really for certain with the way Sammy Watkins has battled injuries over the last couple of years. But at least for today, he was fine, and we'll have to see next week at minicamp if he ramps it up at all. My guess would be probably not. I think we'll probably wait until training camp to see, him really fully participate in the practice, but obviously encouraging at least that he hasn't had any setbacks, because that is also something that has plagued him since he's been in the league.
It seems like durability is a big it's a big value of Coach McDermott's. I mean, you heard him express concern over Charles Clay's knee, and he's expressing concern over a guy who was part of 81% of the Bills' offensive snaps last season, yet you have to manage his reps throughout the course of the week. Is this going to be another kind of situation with Sammy Watkins where we're wrapping this guy up in bubble wrap during the week and hoping for the best on Sundays?
Could be. I mean, we'll have to see. Again, how well he holds up week one, week two, week three, and once you get into the the routine of the season. But if there are issues, then I wouldn't be surprised if he's sitting out Wednesdays, because he was actually one of the guys who would do that sometimes last year. Anyway, it was him and Charles Clay who were pretty commonly out of those Wednesday practices. So, you do want him healthy for Sundays, but it's also a new regime here, and I wonder, if Sean McDermott will be pushing Watkins a little bit more. Obviously doesn't see him as an indispensable player, given that they declined the fifth-year option. So it's not like he's one of those guys that Rex would always talk about, we don't need to have him practice. He's probably not in that category in Sean McDermott's mind. So maybe there won't be sort of the bubble wrap like you described, and maybe we'll just throw him out there and see what happens. But at this point, it's really tough to tell, how exactly they're going to deal with him in September, or even if he'll be on the field in September.
Mike Rodak, Buffalo Bills reporter for ESPN.com, is our guest here in the Sports Bar on 95.7 ESPN. So on the other side of the ball, Reggie Ragland on OTAs. So Ragland, how much were they letting him do, and what type of impact do you think he could have on the defense this year?
So he was full go today, and that's really the first time that he has been full go since last August when he tore that knee. And he said that it was, you know, as most players do when they come back from injury, you're kind of monitoring your knee and how it feels. And that first plant or that first hit or whatever you want to call it is always something that they're going to feel. And in this case, he said he actually felt a pop in his knee, which, you know, you're kind of listening to him. And you're like, oh, no, that doesn't sound good. But the way he described it was actually just scar tissue. And he said it wasn't an issue. And the doctors had previously told him that both of his knees are equally strong at this point, that he's fully recovered. So, you know, it's tough to tell without pads. You know, talking about a middle linebacker going against offensive linemen, it's you know, at this point in the year, it's not a whole lot to evaluate. But in terms of where he was lining up, it's actually with the second team. So, you know, remember, again, that this defense is different than Rex's defense. Ragland would have been one of the inside guys in that 3-4 in Rex's defense. In McDermott's defense, he's a Mike. And as we've talked about before this offseason, I don't think he has the athleticism to play that spot. I don't think Preston Brown does either. But those are the guys you have, and this is the scheme that you're going to play. So you kind of have to fit them in there, knowing that they're going to be several notches below Luke Kuechly. So today it was Preston Brown with the first team at Mike, flanked by Lorenzo Alexander at Sam and Ramone Humber at Will, which is the look we've seen basically all spring now. And then it was Reggie Ragland with the second team alongside Matt Milano and Tanner Vallejo, the two draft picks this year. And then Gerald Hodges was part of the third team, that free agent pickup they signed 2 weeks ago. Yep. So that's kind of the way they've aligned things right now. That could change. They want to work Hodges on the outside a little bit. Maybe he can step up into that first team Will role. Who knows? You know, that's something probably gets sorted out in training camp. But to have a second-round pick last year be on your second-team defense, at this point, probably not the greatest thing for Reggie Ragland, but we'll have to see if he can leapfrog Preston Brown going into August.
Covering the Buffalo Bills for ESPN.com, he is Mike Rodak, joining us in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia after viewing the Bills practice today, OTAs. Macklin watch. We know that he has left Baltimore without a deal. We know that he's going to a wedding. He's going to ponder some of his options. We also know that another one of his ex-coaches has declined to pick him up. Doug Peterson in Philadelphia saying, no, we're good. We're not going to go for Jeremy Macklin at this time. That means both Andy Reid and Doug Peterson don't really want Macklin on their roster. Does that raise any kind of concern for you? And do you think Jeremy Macklin has a future if he becomes a Buffalo Bill?
I mean, some level of concern with the Chiefs letting him go, letting their number one wide receiver go. But I think in both cases, money is definitely a factor. Obviously, the Chiefs weren't willing to pay Macklin the $10 million that they saved by cutting him. And they had cap issues in terms of signing draft picks and having emergency space and all that. So that played into that there. Also, you know, the system in Kansas City is the West Coast. You're not doing a lot of deep passing. You kind of plug in guys at wide receiver, and then you're basically just throwing to the open guys. So, you know, there's a lessened value for a number one wide receiver in Kansas City, although you can easily make the argument that they could probably use more receivers given how their offense is not exactly put up huge numbers in the passing game. With the Eagles, you know, same thing. I think money is probably an issue with them. That's the sense I get with this whole week in Jeremy Macklin. You have him come to Buffalo, make the visit, then he leaves, and he listened to Sean McDermott today, and he says, oh, you know, good player, good person. I'm going to not talk about, you know, why he's not signed. Well, reading between the lines, it sounds like he's too expensive. Mm-hmm. Also with Baltimore today, he leaves Baltimore without a deal. I mean, if these teams are interested in the player and you know, what they saw out of him last year on film, and they brought him in for a visit, then really what seems to have fallen through is the cost of signing the player. It's not like you're, you know, running him out there on a workout or an evaluation these days, and, oh, he doesn't look the same. No, I mean, it's money thing.
Right.
So that's the issue here. It's just a matter of who blinks first. Bills, Ravens, or Macklin. And, you know, that's something that we'll have to wait and see over the next couple of days.
So this is going to really come down to whether or not what kind of a pay cut does Jeremy Macklin want to take in 2017 in order to be on an NFL roster?
Yeah, that's definitely where I think this thing is at. If they can, you know, kind of come to the middle a little bit, and which team comes to the middle first is probably going to be the team that will get Jeremy Macklin. Because as of right now, it doesn't seem like he's just going to sign off the team, you know, for the sake of that team. I think there's definitely a financial element here that, you know, he sees as pretty important.
Mike Rodak, ESPN.com. One more question on Jeremy Macklin, because you were in town at the LeSean McCoy softball game here. Sorry it rained in your visit to Rochester, Mike, but the timing of this, the Macklin release, and then, here's a Sunday where you have everybody available to talk to, and you hear the campaigning, if you will, almost from LeSean McCoy. Did Bill's management get dragged into this? Because it's a fine line when you have your star athletes recruiting a guy, but on the other hand, it's a dangerous situation when you start involving players and personnel decisions, is it not?
It is, and you don't always hear in other places. I mean, obviously, New England is the example that comes to mind for me. I don't think I can remember players, you know, going to the lengths that Shady or Tyrod did to talk to, you know, talking about a new player potentially coming in. So that was a little bit strange. I can see maybe, yeah, the Bills, you know, thought, you know, you don't want to piss off your players basically, and let's go at least check this out. I mean, I could see that as a theory, but I mean, I'm sure there was some level of interest, at least, you know, let's just look at the guy and see what we have here. But yeah, I mean, you do run the risk of that. And I think overall, you do run the risk in signing Jeremy Macklin, if that's what they end up doing, of kind of just wasting money. And I know this is big picture, but this team probably is not going to make the playoffs this year. Jeremy Macklin or not, I mean, I don't think too many people are expecting the Bills to make the playoffs. So if you're signing him to a one-year deal for X million dollars, what are you really gaining? That's the big question I think the Bills have to ask, and you kind of have to slow down Shady and Tyrod, because they're just thinking, all right, we want to play with this guy, you know, we want to help ourselves, you want to play with one of our old teammates. Those are their motivations, but the Bills have to think of it as, okay, what are we exactly getting out of this guy? And I think the one benefit you would get out of him is figuring out what you have with Tyrod, because that was the biggest issue last year when we're talking about Tyrod and there's arguments back and forth about the guy. One of the common threads is that he just didn't have the receivers, especially when Sammy went down. You had so many injuries last year. So if you bring in Macklin, and let's say Sammy's healthy and you have two guys for him to throw to, then you can make a better evaluation on whether Tyrod is your guy. If he performs well, then keep him. If he can't become a great quarterback or even anything close to it with two pretty good receivers, then he's probably not worth the continued investment in him. So that's, I think, the biggest benefit you get from signing Macklin. But I just don't think, you know, he's the missing piece. You know, he's not the guy who's going to come in here and change this team's fortune. So there's, I think, a pretty legitimate argument that you should just save the salary cap space and simply look towards next year.
Well, I will give him credit. I mean, that situation could have or can get pretty ugly when you consider you've got the inmates running the asylum, at least for an afternoon in Rochester, New York, talking about how don't be surprised if Macklin comes and joins us here. I mean, you know, the Bills front office acted quickly. They set up the time to get him in. They met with him. I'm sure they made him an offer. It probably was a very affordable offer. And now you can say to LeSean McCoy and Tyrod Taylor, hey, we made our best offer, and he chose to go elsewhere, if he does indeed choose to go elsewhere.
That's basically what it seems like. I mean, it's certainly an acceptable theory. You know, it's tough to tell exactly what these guys are thinking. They're not saying much. But, you know, I know Pro Football Talk wrote about it a couple of days ago that it is a strange look when you have these players clamoring for the guy and the front office is silent. And you're not quite sure what they're thinking. So it is a way, if that was their strategy, you know, just bringing him in and giving him an offer just for the sake of giving you an offer, that could be possible. But I do think there's some level of interest, just considering how weak this wide receiver core has been the last couple seasons and how many moves they've already made this offseason to try to bring guys in, it would not surprise me at all if Jeremy Maclin becomes a Bill. I think there's also some credence to your theory that they you know, wanted to save a little face in terms of what their players were saying.
Well, weak wide receiver core got a little bit stronger with the return of the rookie today. How did Zay Jones look in practice?
Yeah, he looked fine as well. He was in team drills, which I don't think he was earlier in the week when he came back from the knee, which had only kept him out for 3 or 4 weeks. It wasn't a huge deal, but he was in full, you know, 11-on-11 drills today. And yeah, I mean, he continues to kind of carve out a role for himself. I don't know if he'll be a starter. We'll have to see how training camp goes. They were really rotating guys around today in terms of Andre Holmes and Philly Brown and Brandon Tate in the slot with the first team. And then there's kind of a second wave of guys you might see with that first team, Walter Powell, who was suspended today. Jeremy Butler, we saw some time in there. So Rod Streeter as well. Kind of like last year where there's, you know who the top guy is. It's going to be Watkins if he's healthy, but that 2, 3, 4 spot really up in the air. You know, that was the same case last year. You know, Robert Woods obviously is number two, but was it, you know, Greg Salas or Marquise Goodwin or Greg Little or Leonard Hankerson or Walter Powell? Nobody knew going into training camp, and I think we're in a pretty similar situation this year. But I would say that Zay Jones has the inside track based on his draft position, and if he can stay healthy, he can be a pretty productive wide receiver.
Mike Rodak, ESPN.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Mike, you had the story of Sharice Wright and the Uber. So I have so many questions about this. First and foremost, why didn't the Uber driver just say, really? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not doing it for a $300 tip here. Why would somebody drive him that long?
There was actually two Uber drivers who turned him down at first. So Sharice was he was desperate. He was trying to find a guy, and he found this, I believe it was a Turkish immigrant, and I don't think he quite understood what Wright was saying, and he thought it was Buffalo Wild Wings where he wanted to go, no joke. So I think eventually Sharice Wright got the point across that, yeah, you know, and he'd drive 500 miles to Buffalo, and the driver went along with it, and he got there. So, I mean, good on him for making that drive. And he actually turned around and went right back and didn't stay over in Buffalo at all. It's a lot of wear and tear in your car. It's 1,000 miles round trip. But, you know, for $1,000, it's probably not a bad deal either.
Would the prospect, call me crazy here, the prospect of renting a car and driving yourself just won't cross his mind?
I think that the issue would have been sleeping.
Ah.
And he wanted to be fresh for practice because McDermott actually moved practice up to 7:30 on Monday because some players, and I believe McDermott himself, were going out to Jim Kelly's golf tournament in Batavia.
Uh-huh.
And so they wanted to move things up, and that's why, you know, I think there was some urgency in his part to get there. And he actually got there at 6:58 a.m. I think a meeting started at 7 o'clock before practice. So it was a pretty tight situation. But, yeah, if he had taken a rental car, he wouldn't have been able to sleep and probably would have been dozing off in practice or in the meetings.
All right, so you've got head coach McDermott today basically saying that this story is, to him, the beginning sign of building a football team. He validates Sharice Wright's decision to do whatever it takes to make it on time for his team practice, yet Gene, my partner, Mike, believes...
Cut him. This is a sport about... preparation, and you had no idea this was your plan, or you didn't have a plan? Seriously? Mike, well, cut him right now.
One of McDermott's sayings this offseason, one of his slogans for the season is playoff caliber. So now it's like a buzzword around the facility. So as soon as Sharice Wright got the meeting on Monday, his position coach, Gil Bird, said, oh, that's real playoff caliber. You know, I need you to tell players about that. And then he talked to Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott said, oh, yeah, that's some playoff caliber stuff right there. So, I mean, talk about a buzzword. It's like Rex with All In last year.
Listen, Gene, that's lack of preparation. Gene, your negativity does not fly with this Buffalo Bills organization anymore.
That's lip service.
You cannot
be
negative.
He's gone.
When is the last time you heard Sean McDermott say anything negative? The only negative I've heard him say is Charles Clay's knee makes us nervous. That's it.
Yep.
I haven't heard.
I was just thinking the same thought.
I haven't heard him say a thing. And by the way, by not giving us any sound, by not tipping his hat in any one direction or the other, he's doing what successful coaches in this league do. I want my coach to be dry and political and not tip their hand in any direction one way or the other. I love that he's keeping everything extremely positive, even the idea that one of his knucklehead players paid $1,000 for an Uber from Chicago to Buffalo. He finds the silver lining in that story, Gene. You don't cut that guy. He's playoff caliber.
He's a guy who doesn't know how to prepare.
I just want to know what Rex
would have
said.
Oh, Rex didn't think of the Uber idea himself, right? Had he had Uber, maybe he wouldn't have been discovered at the Cleveland game there in the World Series, Mike. That would have saved him a little bit.
Well, he had the party bus for that. I mean, you know, it was no big deal. It was only the week of a Monday night football game against the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, with everything going on, Mike, I mean, look, the only thing I keep seeing when I see a Rex Ryan story now is, not our problem anymore. Like, file all of these stories under not our problem anymore.
The only thing I think of is, why do they ever validate this guy in the first place?
Moving on.
Should have never been the coach.
Moving on. Mike Rodak from ESPN.com covering the Buffalo Bills, joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia and all the sights and sounds of the final week of OTAs. Mike, we appreciate your insight as always. Enjoy the rest of your night. All right, bud?
You got it. Thank you very much.
You got
Thanks.
It. Mike Rodak with the Bills Inside Scoop, provided exclusively by Perry's Ice Cream. Life is a bowl of Perry's.
You cut him. Football's about preparation. Here's a guy that... What was his plan? He missed his flight, so you're going to take an Uber?
You cut him based on his performance on the field.
Because he doesn't know how to prepare.
Not based on his financial irresponsibility in spending $1,000 for an Uber.
Okay. Mike, you're a guy who hires kids all the time to work at PXY. If you heard a story like that, you would roll your eyes and be like, okay, next candidate.
You know what? I've heard this exact story, and it's not even a candidate. It's people that I work with. I work with people who think, I'm in a real bad way here. What can I do? I missed a flight. I need to get back. What am I? You know, people lose their minds in airports. They really do. Like, you're out of sorts. You're disoriented. You're tired. You're cranky. In some instances, you might be jet lagged. When things don't go your way, things escalate quickly. And you don't always have your wits about you. In this instance, like, my first thought would be, why don't you rent a car? Rodak makes a great point. Well, he doesn't rent a car because he wants to sleep. All right. That makes all the sense in the world. Now it even makes more sense than he would do the Uber.
Okay. So, again, it's only OTAs. How good a quality night's sleep did Sharice Wright get in the back of an Uber car with a stranger, man, when he's got to be at the 7 a.m. meeting on the field at 8 a.m. and he's showing up at 6:58? Lack of preparation. Goodbye.
Gene.
Goodbye. I don't like this. Oh, it shows he's into the team. We're all in. Playoff
this is awesome.
Caliber.
This is awesome. I can't wait for Sharice Wright to make you a believer in training camp.
Oh, I can't wait. We got to talk to him. I will have this. I'm like, what were you doing?
Yeah, are you going to tell him, hey, you know what? I think you should be cut for lack of preparation. Personally, you'd be a horrible football coach, Gene. You need more positivity in your
messaging.
I'll
have to think of how to spin that to him face to face. But I'm on record saying this guy shows he doesn't know how to prepare. What's the football culture? We prepare on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. We watch film. And here's a guy that, waits till the last flight out of Chicago. Last flight
not
possible.
Not his fault that the flight was canceled.
Okay, then don't wait for the last flight. Think. Get into town sooner.
You make it
sooner.
Sound like getting into Buffalo or getting out of Buffalo is really easy. It's not always that easy to get into Buffalo or Rochester when you're flying. Flights get canceled all the time.
Okay.
Bad. It's bad. It's hard flying into and out of Buffalo and Rochester. Not, you know, big travel destinations. It's not the easiest thing. I love it. I think it's great. Now, I'm kind of curious as to why he decided Uber and not, like, you know, Lincoln Town Car, get a car service, you know. NFL player,
exactly.
Ball a little bit, you know, get some leg room, stretch it out. You're in an Uber. You could be driving in like a Prius.
What an ad for Uber, too. Coming to your town soon. And if you need to go to Chicago, well, you might get turned down a couple of times. By the way, that's a law in New York City with an actual cab where if you get into a cab, LaGuardia, no, get out. No, if it's in the five boroughs, they've got to take you. I would think for Uber, where are we going? Buffalo.
Get out.
8 hour drive from Chicago. No, scratch that. 7 hours. Make it about 7 hours. I love it. All right, we're going to serve up today's top NFL stories and more in bite-sized form. NFL appetizers on the way next. Stay in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.